Luke Skywalker has vanished. In his absence, the sinister First Order has risen from the ashes of the Empire and will not rest until Skywalker, the last Jedi, has been destroyed. With the support of the Republic, General Leia Organa leads the brave resistance. She is desperate to find her brother Luke and gain his help in restoring peace and justice to the galaxy. Leia has sent her most daring pilot on a secret mission to Jakku, where an old ally has discovered a clue to Luke's whereabouts. This is the Review and Roast podcast. You may or may not like it. I am your host, Scott, and you can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I am here with Brian, who you can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. And we are here with Mike, who has finally hit 1,000 followers at MikeMiro7.
What are you doing?
I kind of want to watch the Family Guy now.
I know, right?
Anyways.
Right. So, if you haven't guessed, this is our podcast about The Force Awakens, Episode 7. Everyone's been waiting for, I don't know, years and years.
My whole life.
I think Mike cried a little bit. It is actually Friday. We saw it 8:30 in the morning because we're nerds like that. We all took the days off work to go and do this. So FYI, if you are listening and you do not want spoilers, read the review because the review that is written contains no spoilers, where this podcast will, balls to the wall. We're talking about everything. So get ready.
And you're also listening to the last episode of this podcast where I have a job. So sweet.
Okay.
Because I'm about to get fired.
Nice.
Okay. Well, Brian's done with the podcast. You're fired. All right. So I'm assuming people are going to want to know, and I will just go right off the bat and say, yes, it has been confirmed. Mel Brooks has absolutely confirmed a Spaceballs sequel that they will start shooting early 2016.
Is that a real thing?
Yes, with a preliminary title of Spaceballs, The Search for More Money.
Oh, nice.
I found that when I was looking up stuff for this. And now here's the real question. Do we just kind of shift gears and talk about that because he's going to try to get all the original cast? Or do we just...
Can I just say right now it would have been way better if it was called Blazing Saddles 2, The Horse Awakens?
Oh, yeah. That would have been pretty dope. But anywho, yes, that is a confirmed thing. But now back to the Star Wars. So... I don't know. Should we let the resident nerd here take over?
No, I think you guys can kick it off and start out the beginning talks of
like you say
where
resident
it started
nerd.
From.
Well, he
like I'm the
has
only one.
Seen. Well, when it comes to Star Wars, you know, like
I
you
might
know.
Be. Yeah, I might be. Yes, I am.
Okay, so basically, it opens up with the stormtroopers coming down to
Jakku.
To Jakku. I should remember that. They went there 800 times in the movie.
And it's in the prologue you just read. Go ahead.
You want to do this?
I'm just...
All right.
Ahead.
So they come down because they have a lead that of where that they can find a Skywalker, more or less. So
they have there's a map to find Luke Skywalker that they're looking for.
Correct.
Embedded inside of... what's that little robot's name?
BB-8.
BB-8, yes.
Right, actually, yeah, it's actually on some kind of like a USB drive.
It's on a just regular old flash
and
drive.
And yet they're living in squalor in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, are they aware that it's with the droid at this point still?
Or, no,
I was
going to
say,
no,
they're after the pilot.
Right, Poe, he's the pilot played by Oscar Isaac, who's Brian's personal favorite. Is that your favorite?
No, I'm saying mouth to the mic over there. Oh. Yeah.
Oscar Isaac. Anyways, and as Scott read earlier, he was sent down there. He's the most trusted pilot, blah, 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 to find some type of a map of sorts to locate Luke Skywalker for General Leia Organa. And
it's kind of hard not saying princess, isn't it?
I know. Well, actually, whatever. Anyways, the point is, like Scott was saying, stormtroopers show up. The plans are stashed, basically, in a droid. Obviously, we're getting a similarity from the very first movie, which is actually a bunch, and we'll go over a couple of the other ones as we talk about it. So now you have a droid with the plans. He's on the run, and Poe's captured. Go ahead, Scott.
Continue. Right. So Poe is then captured, and then they cut to, it was Rey? Yeah. Well, actually, first you see the initial resistance of who comes to be known as Finn, who's the stormtrooper who you see in the trailer kind of
right,
helping
and,
out.
And actually, yeah, we get Kylo Ren instantly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's which was actually kind of surprising to me.
Unlike Darth Maul, who was awesome but hardly in it, Kylo Ren is in it to win it. Like, right. He is in a good chunk of this movie, and we'll get more on
and
him.
And again,
in a
that's
minute.
Another. I don't know if we're going to call these nods or, you know, some kind of. What would you call it? Nods to the original. But if you remember the very first one, the plans are stashed on the droid. Vader shows up on the ship.
Right.
Takes a prisoner. Exactly the same thing happens in this movie. So, I mean, it's obviously got new twists and turns, but basically they're kind of following, it seems like, the blueprint.
Right, yeah.
No pun intended.
And nice. And then, so they after they show the hesitation on Finn's part, they cut to Rey, who is the girl you guys all have seen in the trailer, and she's kind of like a scrapper. You know, she goes out, gets pieces, parts off, crash ships, bring them back into like a little, almost like a
pawn shop.
Yeah, like almost like a scrapyard. Like if you were just in Chicago,
I was
scrapping metal.
Thinking like a, you know, like a criminal town, like a shanty.
Oh,
town.
Like a
I can't
like
think
a chop shop.
Yeah, something like that. Whatever. And then they pay you with.
Never mind the
food.
Fact that what she's salvaging off of is a crashed Star Destroyer on Jakku, which is actually a pretty amazing scene. Really.
Oh yeah.
Like that thing was. Actually, it's in the trailer, too. They show her kind of on her speeder, which is in the background. But
it looks like a tractor.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I didn't
that's
love
a
that
weird
thing, really.
Speeder.
Yeah, it looks like a John Deere without the wheels.
Right, yeah.
Almost exactly. Painted maroon, but whatever.
And so they pay, you know, they pay her in food, rations. Not very much, but she's struggling. But she has to stay there because, you know, she was separated from her family as a child, and they're like, oh, we're going to come back for you. Don't, you know, so she's like, I got to stay on Jakku. It's like, well, we find out that you pretty much probably don't. But then you cut back to the prisoner. He, you know, he's being interrogated by Kylo Ren. And the stormtrooper who hesitated earlier just... He's like, you know what? He's like, I'm going to help you get out of here because... And he's like, well, you need a pilot? He's like, yes, I do. You know, so they steal a TIE fighter, which I thought was pretty hilarious because think of like a boat tied to the dock.
Yeah.
And you try to take off without untying it.
Actually,
that's what they did.
Right off the bat, like that scene for me, I don't know about you two guys, but that scene was awesome. Like I loved every second of
that. I was
that. Like,
giggling so much.
Yeah, the whole
a lot
like when they get the TIE fighter and, you know, it's new for both of them, obviously. And, Finn, being a stormtrooper, obviously had no idea how to work the thing because he's not a pilot.
Right.
We find out his job later, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But, yeah, that whole scene to me, like, the effects were ridiculous. And the way that thing was tethered inside was
so awesome. It
was
hilarious.
Just the best. Yeah, I just... when if you've seen it or when you see it, you'll know what we're talking about because it's amazing.
Yeah, and the whole time, like, I'm sitting there going, I just want to go home and play Battlefront. What's going on?
Right.
I can't wait for the Kylo Ren download. What's going on?
Yeah, now I want to use TIE fighters all the time.
So yeah, they break away, and then they're obviously they get chased on the way out, and they get shot down, womp womp, over Jakku. So seemingly Poe is
dead,
and it's just Finn and then BB-8 and. There.
Well,
he
locates BB-8.
I take that back. You're
accidentally,
right.
Right.
Because when Poe got captured initially, he sent BB-8 off, like, go run, be free.
Right.
I'll come back
and get you. Yeah, right.
So the robot, backing up a little bit, robot finds Rey. Okay, fast forward back to Ren. Finn.
Jiminy Crispy.
So Finn is wandering around Jakku.
Who's hosting this show?
He gets to this shanty town, and... He knows what's going on with, you know, the pilot and the missing droid and all that, and he sees them.
Right. Poe did mention to Finn in the course of their grand escape in the TIE fighter that he's going for a unique BB droid that's
orange
and white. And he says it's one of a kind, so, and there's no other ones in the movie, so
Yeah.
So, yeah. So he notices that droid with Rey, who's having a little altercation, and decides to help her. And she helps herself. She initially kicks a little ass.
She does. And then the robot, the droid, notices that, oh, that's my master's jacket that guy is wearing. So let's go beat him up. So then she takes down a stormtrooper.
Yeah, she takes her staff and jams him right in the face with it. It's pretty awesome.
And, you know, then that unfolds and they figure out what each other's roles are in the whole what's
right,
been
he claims
on.
To Rey that he's with the... By the way, the Resistance is what it's called now. So the Empire is no more. You have the First Order, and then there's the Resistance, which is somehow implicated to be...
The Rebels.
Helped. Well, yeah, no, yes, they're the New Rebellion, let's just say, but they are backed by the Republic. There is now a Senate, a new Senate and a Republic, which is not touched on very much at all,
no.
And is very different from the expanded universe that regular Star Wars nerds might know, but that's not happening. So there's that.
Right.
So it's the Resistance and the First Order. It's not the Rebels and the Empire.
Correct.
There we go. Continue.
Right. So they decide to kind of help each other out, get the droid back to where he's trying to go. And in the process, Kylo Ren and some more stormtroopers come on down because they obviously tracked the TIE fighter that had crashed back to Jakku. So as they're laying waste to this little shanty town, they're running to a ship to, you know, to escape. That ship gets blown up. So they're like, oh, I guess we're taking this piece of junk. You know, it's under tarps. It's under repair. They get in.
Oh, my God. Not even clean tarps. It was just under, like,
yeah, it was laying in the guy's junkyard.
Tarps.
Right.
In the junkyard. They hop in it, fire up the engines. And, yes, it's the Millennium Falcon, which was actually my second favorite part of the movie, probably.
I think I saw tears in
his
eyes.
There was a little bit of a... It was just a little something. I don't know.
And then...
Honestly,
you know,
I'm actually, like, I'm all, like, happy about it right now again. Like, how much I like that moment. Really.
And then...
I know it's super weird, but whatever.
If you remember the older ones where you have, you know, what's-his-face in the chair blaster in the Millennium Falcon, now you got the Stormtrooper in there, and he's like, how do you work this damn chair?
Yeah, you got... you got Rey, who is a self-proclaimed pilot, maybe not very good. She's more of an engineer, I guess. And then you got this Stormtrooper Finn, ex-Stormtrooper, who admittedly doesn't really know how to do a whole lot of stuff. I mean, for all of his plucked as a baby and trained as a Stormtrooper, he doesn't really know how to work anything. I mean, he can fire blasters better than most stormtroopers, I guess, but he gets in there, he figures out how to fire the guns, and they're chased by TIE fighters, and it's a pretty good scene.
I did want to, and this happens later in the movie, you know, obviously well after he's not a stormtrooper anymore, but, like, it pretty much holds true to the old adage of, you know, stormtroopers can't hit anything. And, you know, there's a lot of that in this movie where they're shooting over people's heads and everything.
Yeah.
But as soon as this guy's got the costume off, he's like dead nuts. Everybody in the chest. It's like...
Yeah, he turned into...
Maybe it's time to lose those helmets.
Yeah, the helmets must be blocking peripheral or something.
Peripheral?
Yeah, that's now on record. So, nailed it.
Good.
Oh, boy. So, next, they make their grand escape in the Millennium Falcon, which starts to leak like a poisonous gas. There's a gas leak.
In true Millennium Falcon style, it literally breaks down in the middle of space.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
That pretty much does happen. And then, so as they're stopped trying to repair, there's like the tractor beam, and then
right,
you get Dark Helmet and... Oh, wait, never mind.
Yeah, wrong one.
So... They're getting pulled in, and it's this gigantic, what they assume to be the First Order. And, you know, the doors for the Millennium Falcon open up, and, oh, my God, it's the scene everyone remembers with Han Solo and Chewbacca. Hey, we're home, or whatever the hell he said.
Right.
And that's the second time that I saw tears in Mike's eyes.
There was a glisten. It wasn't full-on tears.
There was a little spritz.
I had napkins. I'm allergic to popcorn.
So, I mean... Obviously, Han Solo looks like he's 30 years older, but he also, I mean, like Mike was saying before, after the movie, he pretty much, I mean, he still plays that role.
Oh, he's the guy.
Like, yeah, like you would absolutely expect Han Solo to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and And come to find out, the reason the ship is deserted is basically, long story short, it was stolen by a guy, and then stolen by another guy, and stolen by another guy. So Chewie and Han had lost track of it in their smuggling role. They're smugglers again. That's the storyline that we're going with. So
you can hear it in his voice. He's pissed.
I mean, I don't hate it because like some of the best old stories of Expanded Universe are the Han Solo, like,
so they're the original days. Firefly team.
Basically, yes, they would be, yeah. Nice. Except for you have Chewbacca, who's pretty awesome. So you have those guys. They kind of explain that this is our ship to Rey and Finn. And both of those two have obviously heard of Han Solo. And they almost don't believe what they're seeing, really. I mean, they see him, they ask him. He says, what exactly is he said something, I haven't been Han Solo for a long time. Something to that effect, right?
Yeah, one of those cheesy lines.
Something like that. Like that was, I was Han Solo before. So,
now I'm Han Duet.
Yeah. No, I'm Han Ford. Anyways, that doesn't even sound good. So, they're subsequently boarded by two other, what would you call them, smuggling outfits?
Not smuggling outfits. I took them more as
just people he owed debts to.
Just criminals, yeah, in general. Gangsters. Criminal groups, let's just call them that. So you had, I forget their names and it's not really that important, but basically the ship is shortly boarded by two separate groups of people that are looking for Han and Chewie for some money, which, again, rings true to the old days. And so they're basically stuck in a jam. They hide the two, their two fugitives in the bottom. But for some reason, which is so, we'll get to this again, nobody hides the stupid droid that everybody's looking for.
No, they right? did because the
no,
guy.
No, they didn't.
Finn grabbed it and he fell back.
No,
and
that was the other part. That was when Han was coming.
No, because they were,
and Chewie were up there. They had the droid right in the middle, and they're like, "Everyone knows this orange and white droid that's supposed to be unique." But they keep rolling this little droid all over town. It happens like three times in that movie where they're like, "Hey, that's an orange and white droid that looks like a soccer ball."
Like, it's like having a bank heist movie where the bag of money's just sitting.
Yeah, like with the dollar bill sign on the side. You know what I'm saying? Like,
like old Bugs Bunny. Yeah,
like the Hamburglar with a hamburger in his hand.
Is that the bag of money? Nah, no. Yeah. See, as he's so, like moving it behind him with his leg.
I mean, obviously they're doing it as you know what I mean. It's one of them things in a movie or a TV show where you're like, they would never do that, but it keeps the story in line and lets people know that these are the people they're looking for,
right.
Or droids, what have you.
They could have easily gotten around that though.
Oh,
the thing could have made a noise and then they would have been like, "What's that?"
Yeah, they could.
And
have,
then they could have like they, opened the hatch.
Right,
and
but
go,
it was just
oh,
it was just
a droid. We're
it was just
for.
Silly that it was like. This droid that literally is a soccer ball with a head, and he's orange and white, and he's the only one. Like,
and he's just, always running about.
Well, because
yeah.
everybody else
always,
got the football at the head.
Like,
and
everyone just keeps seeing this guy. Like, that's he's just rolling around town, beeping and booping. You know what I'm saying?
He's just beeping and bopping. Oh,
beepity boppity.
He's making spaghetti sauce at some point. I don't know what's going on. Ew.
But yeah, it was to me, that was, I mean, it wasn't a big deal, but again, it was just something I noticed that during the course of the movie. It's like, man, how many times does this droid have to get spotted before they throw a coat of paint on him? You know what I mean? Like, something. I mean, it's the year 30,000 and something, or actually it's the year 30,000 BC, because it's far, far long ago. Who cares? The point is, they have the technology to change the color of a droid. That's all. I'm going to leave it at that.
Just go to the dye station.
Just put a mustache on that thing.
That's what I'm saying. Like the eyeballs and a nose. The glasses with the... Yeah, whatever. Anyways.
That would be awesome.
Everyone can see this droid a mile away is the point.
Right, yes. So, what the hell did we... What happened?
Cargo ship. Boarded.
Oh, yeah. So,
let's just skip to their escape from the cargo ship.
Okay. So, they escape the cargo ship.
They have to leave it on the Falcon, so the cargo ship is garbage.
Done. Correct? And done. Yes. Right.
What's next?
They
we're all looking at each
okay,
other.
Well, okay, they get into the Falcon, and they take off and do stuff.
Well, basically, Han decides that he's going to help these guys out.
That's right,
indirectly. So he's going to take them to somebody that can help him because he doesn't want to get involved because he's just him and Chewie are doing their thing, and they just now they got the Falcon back, so he's good. You know what I mean? Like he just wants to do him. So. They take him to see Maz, I believe her name was.
Something like that.
Old ancient creature, which in previous spoilers, they take Finn and Rey to this ancient temple, which in previous spoilers, people were saying may have been some type of Mandalorian camp, which is like Boba Fett's clan or whatever. It's not. It's just some old ancient creatures.
It's basically J.J. Abrams' version of the Cantina Band.
Pretty close. It was actually a little better. It was something like almost like the Tatooine bar. But it'd
have been cool if they had the same music. The same
that
band
actually would have been
super old.
Like that would have been the best. Like with like wrinkled little heads. Oh man, playing that same song. Or I wish they would have did an homage to that song at some point in time. But I will admit this, that I also noticed during the movie the score, I guess is what I'm looking for, was pretty good. It was pretty close to the original, but fairly updated. I don't know if anybody else noticed that. Like,
yeah,
like the way they did the orchestra. You know, I actually liked it. It fit. It fit well. Because there was a lot of similarities, obviously, like I stated earlier, to A New Hope, Episode 4. But that was one of the things that was real subtle that I actually did pick up on. That was pretty cool, I thought. So, we're at Maz's place, correct?
Yes, we were at the...
So now, again, they roll into this cantina with this effing droid rolling around the thing. Everybody in the whole place sees an orange and white droid, so somebody calls the rebels.
Well...
Somebody calls the Empire. Resistance. The First Order, someone calls the Resistance.
Not to mention, the second they walk in the door, she yells, Han Solo! Yeah. And then the whole place goes quiet and everyone turns.
Everyone turns and looks at him and he gives that Han Solo look, which was actually hilarious. Because, I mean, I'm telling you, Harrison Ford nails this.
So,
I mean,
of course they saw the droid at that point.
Well, yeah, now they did. But, I mean, you could have left him in the car. You know what I mean?
The Falcon.
He's not a baby. Like, you could leave him in there with the windows up. He'd be safe. Anyways, the point is, they take him. They go in there and basically Han is looking to pawn off his two new friends in hopes that Maz will help him out and get him where they got to go. So it seems like he wants to avoid running into Leia again because they have a pass now, which is... I don't know if it was exactly revealed yet exactly what happened, but it was alluded to that they had something of a falling out. And that obviously becomes...
The reason why he's more of a smuggler now.
So he went back to his... what basically... He refers to it exactly as he went back to doing what he did best, which obviously was smuggling him and Chewie just running the galaxy, I guess, or running through the galaxy, for lack of a better way to put it. So, there's that. Now, Finn is just looking to get out of there. He's scared because he was part of the First Order and he knows what they're capable of. He's watched them do some pretty bad things. So he wants to get away and he wants Rey to go with him and just be safe and... also ditched a droid. Let somebody else send it back to where it's got to go. She declines. He decides he's going to get out of there. Pretty much. So that whole scene was all right. Until it got better. they're doing a lot of stuff here, but you're not getting a lot of real answers. You're getting a lot of alluded things. You know, you're still playing the guessing game at this point,
right, yeah,
in the movie. You know what I mean? Until Rey goes downstairs, and I don't know if you call it Maz's basement, she stumbles upon a room that she's slightly drawn to somehow. And, obviously, we have the Force around town. So she goes in there and opens up this old chest, and inside is a lightsaber. And when she touches it, she gets all kinds of glimpses of things like her past, and it seemed like some other past.
Yeah.
What did you think about that?
Well, it looked like her past a little bit. Maybe some of Kylo Ren past.
I believe a little bit, and I think that was our first actual glimpse of Luke Skywalker. With his hand on R2's head, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Right?
Yes, that part? Yes, that was. Just a couple flashes from the past. I mean, nothing too givey away.
Oh, you know
nothing.
What? Yeah, because it was very similar to Empire Strikes Back when Luke goes down and sees the imaginary Vader. But it was sort of like it was almost like that scene because then they had Rey sort of in the woods, and that's when you saw Kylo Ren sort of like stalking her a little bit,
right?
You know what I mean? And it kind of eluded and it frightened her obviously, and she wanted nothing to do with it. And Maz comes down and tells her, "Hey, look, like I think you're supposed to have this thing, and go find Luke." And Rey says,
"See ya.
Not for me. It's not for me. I don't think I want that kind of responsibility."
So at this point, she kind of runs out. You know, she's obviously startled, a little shaken. So she runs out into the forest. Meanwhile, Finn has hired some smugglers of his own to get him out of Dodge, get him out of the star system. You know, they're like basically told him, like, these guys will.
Yeah, he wants the other corner of the galaxy.
Yes, they'll trade you a ride for work. So he's like, let's go do this. So as they're all doing that, again, the First Order shows up and starts laying waste. So in all the ruckus, no, I'm sorry. That's when they fired whatever the new Death Star is.
I don't know.
But they start seeing all the planets.
Starkiller.
The nearest planets all start blowing up, and they know that it's coming soon. So they all start.
Which I actually.
We'll get to that because I've got issues with
effects
this.
Wise.
No. Not effects wise. I kind of thought that was neat.
No, I mean, I like the way. So here's the deal. So, I'm going to say the new Death Star, and then I'm going to call it what they called it. It's called Starkiller. It's 10 times bigger. It looks like kind of a planet with a gun in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Whatever. I dig it. But basically, this thing fires a new type of weapon that draws energy from the nearest star or sun.
I just had a thought.
Go.
You know how, the Death Star was 10 times smaller than Starkiller? Remember in Star Trek Into Darkness where they built the bigger Enterprise ship that was like 10 times bigger than the SS Enterprise? J.J. Abrams got a regular and bigger. He's always got to build a bigger version of what's already there.
Bigger and better?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, yeah. Are you talking about the ship that was chasing down them? Remember the one that...
Yeah. They go into warp and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because he chased him in warp. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that ship was bigger guns and... Yeah, he's...
Yeah.
Bigger and better, or bigger and badder, or bigger and louder. That's J.J. Abrams' Michael Bay contribution, I guess. A couple extra bangs. So anyways, that was, again, getting to my issue with that. So it's got a weapon that fires, and just like the Death Star, but more high-powered. And this one fires a large blast that's basically generated from power from the nearest star that they can suck all the energy out of, which is whatever, forget about physics and stuff. So they shoot this thing and target multiple planets now. But the problem I had with it was there's no way you're going to see that. Like, it's like star systems away. Like,
those planets in the same system. That'd be like if somebody shot Mars.
Yeah, but
we wouldn't see it right away as it happened, but we would see it.
The Republic wasn't next door. Like, they were in another system, so it was just a little... You know what I mean? We're talking... I mean, this is all...
Theoretical.
Silly.
We'll have to wait for the physics to hit the internet.
It's a movie, I mean, obviously. But it was just like, you're not going to see it from... Like, when they blew up the Death Star when they're on Endor, yeah, you could see it because they're right there. You know what I mean? But when you're blowing up... Basically, it looked like they blew up half a solar system... Solar systems aren't close to planets that aren't in that solar system.
It could have been a planet with a bunch of moons around it. You didn't know how close all that stuff was. We didn't have a map.
If they were all in the same solar system, they would have just the movie would have ended.
Well, anyways. Yeah, as soon as the sun went away, everything would have ended.
That's
yes.
What I'm saying.
Unless there were multiple suns, but now we're getting into shit that don't really.
Right. All I'm saying is All I'm saying is I didn't. That was just.
All I'm saying is you may or may not like.
All it. that was just added in, and it was when I was watching that part, I was like, meh. Like, there's no way that that's a thing. You know what I mean? Like, when they blew up Alderaan in the first one, the only reason anybody really knew is because...
They felt a disturbance
Ben
in the force.
Felt the disturbance, and then they came out of fucking... They came out of hyperspace right into what
Nothing.
Used to be the planet.
Right. Like, well, basically, they're all standing outside looking up, doing the Independence Day thing. And you see all these other planets start blowing up. So obviously, reference. Right? I have my moments.
Sick reference, bro.
Then you get all the TIE fighters coming. And let me say this. Kylo Ren's ship, that thing is dope.
It's pretty cool. You know what? I liked Kylo Ren's ship. I love... The TIE fighters are very much exactly the same, but they are so much better.
They just got like a better paint job.
Like the paint job, the shape is just a smidge different. I don't know if it's the sound or everything else. TIE fighters are pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, they...
I mean, the X-Wing fighters were also super awesome.
But did you notice that they still kind of looked like the old ones? Because they don't have the money and the...
Right, yeah. They looked like they were a couple years newer, and that's about it. Then the funds ran out again. But yeah, no, the TIE fighters were...
You can tell who's more funded in this war.
Spectacular, actually. I mean, I would have liked to see more variations of the TIE fighter, but that's just nerdy.
Oh, speaking of variations, that's the one thing that I really did like, was all the different variations in the Stormtroopers that you didn't have before. They were all the same. Yeah. Like, now you've got ones where they have, like, the one white shoulder pad, the one red shoulder pad.
Right, correct.
It's all silver, so you can kind of tell.
The flamethrower Stormtrooper, what?
The dude with a badass baton.
Yeah,
whatever. Hey, traitor. that was just...
pretty good. That's pretty good.
I was pretty giddy.
Yeah, there was
I like that they trying to show different classes in it now, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, it was more than just a guy with a black blaster. Now they got new guns. I mean, everything was a little upgraded, and yeah, you're right. You had some differentiation. Is that the word I'm looking for?
It's good enough. Obvious rank. Let's put it that
way. Right, yeah. Well, and you had the captain in her in it was a she in the silver outfit, which was actually
dope.
She was pretty cool. Yeah. And that's we'll get to her in a little bit.
They're watching all these planets blow up, all then the TIE fighters and Kylo Ren's ship come in, they start again laying waste. So everyone's freaking out, everyone's running, everyone's trying to escape. And meanwhile, while all this is going on, Kylo Ren is now chasing Rey through the forest, and she starts shooting with the blaster, and obviously he's fucking just bang, bong, boom, knocking it out the way, stiffens, does the thing with the force, and, her arms are now pinned to her side. She can't do nothing. He's, oh, my God, you've seen the map, so I don't even need the droid
anymore.
Yeah,
he knows that she's got the map in her head now. She's seen it. He knows that he can get it.
So he's just like, screw it. He's like, tell everybody we're out of here. He knocks her out. He takes her to the ship, and they take off. Meanwhile, you have Finn, who's loading up the smuggler ships. Oh, you know what?
Yeah, we're going to get to our first, real spoiler, too, because...
What are you talking about?
Well,
given the entire script verbatim from the time we hit record.
But that's...
This has been nothing but one humongous spoiler.
But that's not really any... Wasn't really nothing big secret. Like, the one thing that they showed in the trailers before you saw the movie was the fact that Finn has the lightsaber, which he had just gotten during the course of this whole thing. Maz gives him the lightsaber, and it's basically to give to Rey, which in the trailers they imply that it's going to be his, and it's not.
Right.
It's kind of a big deal.
Okay. Yes.
So, that leads to your favorite part.
When Kylo Ren takes his mask off?
No, nerd. When the guy with the electric baton beats the hell out of Finn.
That scene was the best, dude. Like, that was the most badass stormtrooper I've seen whole movie.
So, Finn gets the saber from Maz, and he says, I need a weapon. She's like, you got one. So, he lights this thing up, and he obviously is... not proficient with a saber. Well, I mean, we'll get to that again. We probably won't, but whatever. Anyways, the point is, this guy's trying to swing this lightsaber around, so you get the stormtrooper comes up with some type of electric, gigantic baton/billy club, I guess.
Yeah.
That can take a hit from a lightsaber and fight back, and Finn gets beaten silly, kind of.
Yeah, he does.
It's actually pretty, it's a cool scene.
It lasts about a whole 10 seconds before he gets shot, but, whatever.
It's all right.
So now, Kylo Ren has her prisoner. And then, in my opinion, one of the worst parts of the movie, he takes the mask off and he reveals this dork. You're just wait, what?
Yeah, when she's...
Man, put that mask on.
Yeah, when she's held prisoner, she basically eggs him on, I guess. And gets him to take his mask off, and then you see Adam Driver, who we all know that's who plays Kylo Ren, and that was also kind of a letdown for me. I found him to be unintimidating.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
With the mask and the voice, awesome.
Yeah.
Without the mask and the voice, just some pale dude with bad hair.
You know what, though? Even after he put the mask back on, because now that I know what's underneath the rest of the movie, it was just like, oh. But then later on, I will admit, he got a little cooler, I guess.
Like, maybe.
He seemed more badass and just whatever later on in the movie. But so, yeah, he's trying to extract it. He can't, you know, she's, you know, her powers are growing, whatever you want to call it.
Right, she basically... It's then revealed that she's the one that probably has force power, obviously.
Right.
And she fights his, I guess, mind probing of sorts and keeps him blocked out, and he can't deal with it. He becomes frustrated quickly.
Yes, he does.
Which I also was like, meh.
And then you get kind of, it gets a little silly where they're showing her try to use the force against the stormtrooper.
That was a pretty good part.
You're going to untie me, leave the door, and then, you know, whatever. And he's like, I'm going to what now?
Yeah.
So, I mean, she has to run through it a few times. It's kind of funny.
Which I had a little, I guess it's sort of like the original one where, you know, Luke didn't know about the Force 10 minutes ago, and now all of a sudden he's like, batting laser beams away. She just thought it was all myths about, you know, 4 hours ago, and now she's mind controlling people. So it's kind of like, meh, that's kind of weak sauce. But I mean, it played out, and again, that's just the way. And
yeah, with absolutely no training her entire life, and now all of a sudden she's picking it up like it's nothing. I agree with
Luke wasn't controlling minds till the third movie. Whatever. Carry on.
It was a little fast.
But necessary to keep the story moving, so I get it. I'm not going to nitpick every little aspect.
Right. So, of course, this leads into the we need to rescue her mission. And, you know, at this point, they do head to, not the Rebel, the Resistance base, and that's where you get the reuniting of Han and Leia. And, aww.
It's a pretty good scene.
Yeah, and at this point, I already knew who Kylo Ren was. But when they very first revealed that it was Han and Leia's son.
I was there when they mentioned that they had
When they first mentioned it, you were in the bathroom.
No, I was there before that part.
When no, I'm saying.
Talking about that he had a son.
In the movie. Like, earlier on.
When Ren did?
Yeah, when Ren, when himself, when they were, he was talking to the Great One or whatever the hell.
Yeah, I was there for that
part. No, you weren't. You were in the bathroom. No,
I'm telling you, I was there because that's when.
You crawled over me to do it.
The Supreme Leader. I might have waited. Anyways, the Supreme Leader Snoke, or whatever his name was, Supreme Chancellor, I don't know. He was unintimidating as well.
Yes, he was. But he was also just a hologram.
Right, yeah, much to the...
He looked like a cheesy version of Parallax from the Green Lantern
movie. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Crossed with, like,
but like
Voldemort from Harry Potter.
That was the stupidest villain I've ever seen.
Yeah, he wasn't super... Well, again, that was Andy Serkis, who... does all the CGI stuff.
Still terrible.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it wasn't. Again, the villains, I was overall in this movie. I mean, the movie, I obviously liked the movie. The villains were less intimidating than I thought by a lot. It's just by a very much large margin.
And this might be, unpopular opinion, but you know, I almost feel the same way with the old ones, even with Vader always, you know, being controlled by Palpatine. It's like, dude, why are you the baddest, most scariest dude in the galaxy? And this guy's
that was his mentor,
doesn't matter,
you know what I mean?
What's the dude from Kill Bill 2? It's been a while since I've watched that movie. Gordon Liu plays him. It's remember when David Carradine drops off Uma Thurman at the temple.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, you're right. And there was the mentor was there.
Yeah,
right.
He was like 80 years old, but he could still like whip that ass.
Right, but like you know, you got like even in this one, you got the other general like talking shit to Kylo Ren, and it's just like they're bickering back and forth. It's like, dude, if you're supposed to be
right,
the baddest like,
which I didn't.
Soldier.
I didn't love the general. I forget what he was like the grand
New Order or whatever. Like, I don't know. I just feel like there's always the man behind the curtain who the villains really cower to, and it's just kind of annoying.
Yeah,
like Thanos, except Ronan was way tougher.
Pretty much, way cooler at least.
For the
way more involved
one movie that he lasted.
Yeah,
for now, let's not count him out yet.
Oh, is he coming back?
He might regenerate in some kind of weird orb.
Yeah, some kind of bubble. So yeah, we're moving along nicely here.
Pai Mei.
Who's that?
From Kill Bill.
That's from Kill Bill.
Oh.
That's what Palpatine is. He's the Pai Mei of Star Wars. Nailed it.
Correct. Correct. So moving on. Go ahead. Give it to me.
Yeah, so now they realize that they have to go and save Rey.
Correct. And somehow they find out, I mean, maybe they have spies on the Starkiller, but they find out that Starkiller is charging its weapons, which takes a minute because it has to drain all the energy from a sun.
Well, you can see it draining the energy. You can see it sucking the...
No, they couldn't see it from there.
Well, whatever.
When they got there, they saw it.
But so, well, they had.
But they got word that they were draining energy and they were going to target them. I remember Leia saying that.
Well, and this is where we'll get to your favorite part. Because, they had Finn there and he was explaining what the weapon was.
Correct.
And how it got its power. So then their engineers and physicists or whatever were like, oh, well, if it's doing that, then it must have this kind of venting system. He's like, yeah, it does. And they're like, how do you know all this? What was your chief job?
Oh, no, that doesn't happen yet.
Yeah, when they were sitting around the table looking at the big thing.
No, that wasn't in the table. That was when they were already there.
Oh, you're right.
He told them that he knew how to disable the quantum flux capacitor.
Whoa.
I don't know what it was called.
Shields?
The DeLorean?
No, it wasn't the shields.
Yeah.
Was it the shields? Oh, it was the shields.
Yeah, to get the shields down
so they can come in and bomb the quantum flux capacitor. That's correct.
The vent, more or less, again.
So,
with these vents.
Yeah, yeah. There's always a 2-millimeter hole that they can shoot a torpedo into or something. Anywho, again, very similar to the original. So when they get there, that's when it's basically the landing party, which is extremely small, of Han, Chewie, and Finn, get down there, and Han asks Finn, hey, where do we got to go? What do we got to do here to disable those shields? Finn says, I'm not really that sure.
Yeah, I'm really only here to save Rey. I actually lied because I don't care about the rest.
What? So, Han asked him, he said, hey, what was your job here? And Finn admits that he was in sanitation. So basically, Finn was a stormtrooper garbage man.
And that's what doesn't make sense.
On the Starkiller.
I mean, why was he on missions in the first place to be able to be like, this is wrong, right. I need to switch sides? And also, why do you need the costume then if you're just taking out the trash?
Well, literally, that line was just in there for comedy. I mean, that was it. I mean, it was hilarious though.
No, I mean, I get it, but I mean, it also then makes you wonder why did they steal this kid as a baby, train him to kill people just so he could take out garbage? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
I mean, maybe he had to guard the sanitation. Maybe that was
maybe there are garbage picking weirdos out there. I don't know.
Maybe people are trying to steal Starkiller garbage.
Meh.
Could be. But the point is, it was only in there purely for the fact that it was pretty funny at the time.
Yeah. Well, anywho, by the time they got there, she had weaseled her way out of the restraints, and she now had a blaster of her own, and she was trying to find a way off the planet / ship / whatever it is. Meanwhile, it is currently sucking up.
Should we just call it the Mega Death Star?
Whatever.
I dig it.
Death Star 2.0. Meanwhile, it's, sucking up the sun that it is closest to. And they know that once the sun is gone, it's ready to fire. Which, again, in my opinion, if you don't suck the entire sun up, you'll still be able to fire.
Still pretty good shot.
Yeah.
Still got something to do. Yeah, I feel like they could have just fired a 75% shot. Unless, for some reason, they need X amount of whatever. But then you get into, like, other silly things, like all suns are different sizes. Because stars are all different.
Right.
So you might not necessarily have to suck one whole one. Maybe you need one and a half. Maybe you need three quarters of one. Who cares?
No,
for storyline purposes, they need one whole sun. regardless of the size. They can't stop early, and they once they have it, that's enough to shoot one shot. So there.
Right, but the one shot can blow up multiple planets.
Correct. So,
yeah.
Or they could just blow up one.
Here's a little tip
with less,
for the First Order, or whatever they're called. Quit designing gigantic weapons that take 20 minutes to charge for one shot.
Right.
You will be way better if you can do some destruction.
Or that only need 20 X-Wing fighters to kill you.
Right, yeah. That's your problem. You're wasting trillions of dollars
trillions
on these.
Trillions, nothing. Trillions, nothing. Gajillions.
Yeah, on these destroyers that basically suck.
So you're essentially saying that this movie spells out the folly of war as a whole.
Yes.
What?
It's pretty deep, yo.
Take that, Dick Cheney.
Way to go, Dinkins.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, look at me. I'm going to throw a nugget in here. How do you guys like it?
All right. So, anywho, I mean, overall, I know there's parts of this movie that Mike didn't like. I know there's parts of the movie Brian didn't like. I thoroughly enjoyed myself the whole time. Like, I had pretty much the childish grin on my face. Me and Jeff were giggling and pointing out stuff and making fun of stuff. And
oh, no. I mean, I loved it. For sure.
Yeah. But I know there's some parts that you guys want to talk about because you guys really hated it. So I'll let you guys talk about a little the reuniting of Han Solo and his child, Kylo Ren.
Can I just say this, first of all? I actually like Kylo Ren.
I do.
I thought he's a great character.
I
both
do, too.
Both versions of him, actually. Because when he comes out of the ship and he's dressed in all black, he looks really imposing and kind of Vader-ish. When he takes the mask off, he looks like a spoiled trust fund kid who would behave the way he did when he destroyed that console when he found out that they'd lost when they were and when they had a beeline on the BB-8 and then they lost it and then whatever the guy whose rank was came and said, Lord Ren, we lost the BB-8, and he just took the lightsaber and started smashing the console.
Right, kind of like a tantrum.
Yeah,
he threw. Yeah, he was spoiled, essentially.
Yeah.
He was the king's son, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
And he was constantly, like, questioning himself, like, you know, I feel this, the light side, or whatever they call it, the force is still in me, and how do I get rid of it? He kind of, like, danced around
right,
the possibility.
Also, yeah,
that,
and he alluded to the fact that he was going to, like, seek help from, what's his name, Snoke? Right? Yeah, Snoke, the Supreme Leader. But they never really, he never did that, you know.
Well,
again,
it
was very much like the first one where you only see the hologram of the Emperor. You only see the hologram version of Snoke. So you don't really, you know, for him to have just shed all of his light side, let's just say, they didn't really, like, allude to that until the big scene, really.
Well, at the end, they, Snoke really he did say, you know, bring me Kylo Ren so we can finish his training.
Right.
And again, why are you putting this guy out there if the training's not complete?
Well, in theory, they're always
because you got to be the master.
According to the thing, there's always the apprentice, which, you know, technically Vader was always.
Right. No, I know.
You know what I mean? So in theory, that's part of it, I guess. You're only when you're on the dark side, you're an apprentice until you kill your boss.
And another thing that I liked about that kid was the fact that Vader was his grandfather. Vader is a legend.
Oh, no doubt.
Like, arguably in the galaxy as well as in the movie version. So he's got that legacy to live up to.
Oh, no doubt.
And he's constantly in its shadow. So that made him interesting as a character, which why when I had read some of the spoiler-filled reviews, and they're all complaining, like, oh, Kylo Ren, he's, like, the worst thing since blah, blah, blah from this movie. I'm like, no, actually, he's not. He was probably one of the better characters in this movie.
No, he was.
I'll say it right now, not a big Harrison Ford fan, and, yeah, it was just whatever when he showed up.
Yeah, I didn't really think that. See, and I'm slightly the opposite because I didn't really. I loved Kylo Ren early in the movie, and even when he first took his mask off and revealed himself to Rey. I mean, I was like, meh, a little bit, but he sort of picked it back up for a little bit. Then towards the end, again, when he was in battle, I'm not blaming Adam Driver or anything. I mean, I guess I'm just gonna blame J.J. Abrams that they sort of made him seem weaker than he should be.
Yeah,
That's my main problem with him. Isn't even that he was a pouty, spoiled trust fund kid, for lack of a better term, but that he was just portrayed as, I don't know if I'd call it easily defeatable, but not overly strong, I guess.
See, I feel the reason that was, though, because his brother clearly is the guy who is eyeing the throne. That's how I felt. The redheaded guy. I'm assuming that's his brother. Who? Or his... The guy that gave the big speech. Yeah.
No, he's not his brother. He's just some dude. He's like... He's
well,
like
I feel like he and Kylo Ren went to see the Emperor together.
Yeah, he's the... Like, in the original...
He's the Joseph Goebbels to Adolf Hitler.
Well, there was... In the first one, you had Tarkin. Remember the old guy that... Yeah. Blah, blah. And he was actually in charge of Vader, technically, because he was actually the leader of the military force that was the Empire, where, you know, the Emperor obviously leads all, and Vader, but Vader was under the direction of Tarkin when he told him to release him. And that was sort of the dynamic they were alluding to, was that this guy's in charge of the military aspect, and it's shown when they first meet the Supreme Leader Snoke, which I still don't really love that name. I wish they'd just call him the new Emperor or something stupid. Supreme Leader is just lame. It's generic, right? I mean,
Snoke is the guy that you go to get information from in the trailer park in a Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah, like in the Starsky and Hutch reboot, he's the CI. You know what I mean? Like, that's the name of the guy.
Yeah.
Anyways, the point is that when they went there and they were talking to Snoke, Snoke obviously, the general, I forget his name, it's somewhere around here, he makes a suggestion of course of action, and the Supreme Leader jumps right on it. You remember that part?
Yeah.
And that was to fire the weapon for the first time, or whatever the case may be. And that was when, and like you said, Brian, that was when you definitely saw like the conflict of interest, and that obviously Kylo Ren wants to prove himself, and he's having a hard time doing that with this guy calling shots out in the military. You know what I mean? So that was the like a funky dynamic to me. And the general or whatever his name was, Admiral General
Jeff.
Yeah,
Admiral Jin.
He was
Admiral Bill.
He wasn't. I didn't like that character either. I mean, the actor himself was, I guess he was a good actor, but that character should have been slightly older, slightly more the grizzled military guy.
The reason I
like he wasn't that, even this general was peeing in his diaper when the rebellion happened. You figured you'd want a guy from the grit that's seen it all.
I like that guy because they're about the same age, and he kind of had that bravado of the guy who risen through the ranks really fast, and he probably got there too young, so he's too cocky for his own good.
No, you know what? Yeah, you're probably that's a pretty good point. That's a good point because he could have been, exactly that guy. Yeah, that flew up. Yeah, I could see that. Maybe with that,
we call them in the real world, the boss's son.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, we're gonna find out he's Snoke's nephew. This prick. You know what I mean? No wonder I hate him. So, yeah, I forget where we were other than Kylo Ren bashing, which we're not really. Again, I didn't hate the character. I just didn't. I feel like where, like, Vader was in the first movie impossible to beat. Like, there was nobody better. Even Luke, he was nothing. In the first prequel, you had Darth Maul, who was defeated, but by two of... At the time, one of the toughest guys and one of the guys who's going to be one of the toughest guys. So this movie, you have Kylo Ren facing off against an ex-stormtrooper that doesn't even know how to fly a spaceship and a girl that found out she has force powers about 20 minutes ago. So that, to me, was a little, I don't want to say far-fetched because we're talking about a movie in space with the force and lightsabers and stuff, but... Like, to me, following that storyline, it's a little tough to swallow that this guy who's supposed to be the new great apprentice, he's the lineage of Darth Vader, he's Han and Leia's son. I mean, this guy's got stuff going for him, and basically, like, two kids beat him up. Like, to me, that I lost... You know, and to be honest, I was at that point.
All right, you saw me. That guy sucks.
No, no.
He's the worst.
But do you know what would have made him the worst, and which I actually kind of enjoyed even though I didn't, was the fact that he wasn't killed. Because if Ray would have killed him, I would have been actually more disappointed, if that makes any
sense.
That's
just when they bring out Darth Paul.
Yeah.
We're going to just run through all the Darths. Until they get to Darth Ted, and we're like,
you know what
this
I'm saying? Because then I was thinking, I'm looking at it like, oh, if they're going to pull a Darth Maul on me and kill the bad guy in the first one, that's just silly.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that's what happened in the prequels, and that's where I thought the prequels kind of lost a lot of stuff, too, was they kept killing off bad guys. They kept bringing out Siths. It's like, dude, how many, you got a robot Sith, for Christ's sakes. Like, how many Siths you got?
Wait till they bring out the breakdancing Sith.
You know what I'm saying? There's supposed to be two of them, and
hey,
in the prequels,
can we just
there's like seven legit bad guys. So at least they're going to keep him going, I'm sure. Adam Driver as an actor. I mean, I didn't think he did a bad job. I think what he was asked to do was correct. But they put too much emotion. They had him portray too much emotion, I thought. And Brian's point made sense about the whole privileged individual.
It's kind of a little, maybe a nod to the bratty Anakin in the prequels.
Yeah, I think, you see, I don't think you want to nod to that,
though. I don't, at all.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm thinking, I don't know if he was, I don't know if he was or wasn't trying to do that, but I didn't really think about it until you just brought that up, which I don't know what I think about this character. Obviously, there's nothing's going to stop me from seeing the second one, so I'm going to hold all my questions or concerns about Kylo Ren and Adam Driver until I see more of them, because, I mean, I want to.
Right.
He wasn't, I'm not saying he was bad, I'm just thinking they could have made him, he should have been more powerful, or at least something. I mean, he's fighting people. I mean, you got moves, man.
He was awesome, and then he lost when he took his mask off. It was like
in the beginning,
and I feel like
he stopped a blaster bolt midair. That was awesome.
That was
and held
amazing.
It. That thing was dope. Like, for real. I don't even know
forgot
how
forgot about that.
It was awesome. Like, you're like, dude, this guy's got the moves. And then later on, some chicks beating him up. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, she has the Force and stuff, but they're not even using the Force. They're just running
around. That didn't bother me as much as him not being able to read her mind. That really bothered me.
That didn't bother me. That, I thought, was the most, again, I'm going to use the word realistic in a world of fantasy. But to me, I thought that was her subconsciously drawing, like, let's just say the Force. Well, it is the Force. That was her subconsciously, I was going to say awakening, but that's super lame. But that was her subconsciously realizing that she had powers and that she could fight back. Because she didn't want to give up the information, and he was trying to get it, and she was doing everything she could that she thought she knew how to stop. And somehow, you have to really see that scene. Me talking about it isn't going to do any justice. Because that scene was, I love that scene. And as much as Kylo Ren was weaker than I wanted him to be, that scene proved that he is not a regular person, but that he can be held off, I guess. I thought that scene was pretty good.
You figure the first time that they meet, he just goes womp, and she can't move.
Right.
So why didn't he just do that when they were fighting?
I'm just gonna say the Horse Awakens has to become a thing.
Because fighting, I mean, she's been fighting her whole life. I get it. You know, okay, he had specialized training, whatever, but it's not like she doesn't know.
No, I know, and I agree.
But at the same time, why not just go, and just
right. And that's what I'm saying. These two guys are fighting, or this guy and this girl are fighting, and he's not going to the arsenal that she doesn't even know about yet. Like, she might be able to do it, but she doesn't know yet.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, he does allude to the fact that, like, in the middle of their battle, he tells her, hey, you need training, I'm the guy. You know?
Yeah.
And she alludes to think about it, but then she draws on her power and does something that we don't even see.
A spin move.
Yeah, barely, right? I mean, it wasn't even force-based. She just, like, reached within herself and jumped away from him or something, which was silly. And again, the same instance, which I believe the fight between Rey and Ren more than between Finn and Ren, because Finn doesn't even know anything about anything.
He just knows he wants to get out of there.
I'll buy the fact that he can swing a lightsaber because he was trained as a boy to be a stormtrooper, and I'm guessing they taught him all combat. So I'm just going to say it was the sword, so we'll leave it at that, that he can swing something. But he has absolutely no force ability, so there's no reason he should last 8 seconds against Kylo Ren. Thoughts?
Well, he only lasted about 14 seconds.
No, it was like 2 full minutes of like swinging and slashing. I mean, he tagged Kylo Ren. He tagged him with a saber.
Because he underestimated
him. Not possible. Not possible.
I'll do it. Oh, that's the one thing I did want to bring up.
Lightsaber battle?
No.
Backyard?
Just lightsaber in general. But yes,
awesome.
We can totally do that. No, because they mentioned that the lightsaber that in question, the one that keeps passing hands between Ren and Rey, was Luke's, but it was also Vader's. Vader had a red lightsaber.
Vader had a red. Anakin had that one. The bluish one. Prequel. We never finished watching the prequels.
I mean, I've seen them before. But,
yeah, right.
Well, they said
like
that,
when
you know,
Anakin, because that's the one that Obi-Wan gives Luke in episode 4 is that blue one. And that's the one that Obi-Wan takes from Anakin at the end of episode 3 when they're on that volcano planet. I forget the name of it. Who cares? But when he defeats Anakin and Fs him up and gets him where he needs robotic assistance.
So that's where, okay.
Yeah, that's the same. It's not the red one. Yeah, right. Yeah, because at first I was like, when they said grandfather, I'm like, oh yeah, that's the original. Because eventually Luke has a green saber because he loses the blue one. And forgive me for not knowing what happened to that one, but I can't remember everything.
Actually, it's a funny story. He flushed it down the toilet. All right, yeah. So do you guys have anything else here you want to talk about? I mean, we're almost as long as the movie here. Do we want to?
It's getting close. It's getting
Do we want to discuss the big scene that I had the biggest problem with?
That's what I'm leaving up to you guys, because we haven't mentioned it yet.
I'll leave it to Brian, because he wanted to talk about stuff and hasn't really. He's been on Facebook.
No, I haven't been on Facebook.
Twitter,
a little bit.
I'm live tweeting this show that's recording.
All right, spoiler. This is the ultimate spoiler of the entire movie. Han Solo and Kylo Ren meet on a bridge. Kind of similar to the one that Luke and Vader once met on.
Exactly. And when that happened, I mean, if you're watching this movie and you've seen the other ones, when that scene is unfolding, you know what's going down.
Right, and that's my big issue. The minute that Leia and Han Solo start talking about their son and they mention that it's Kylo Ren, I'm like, he's going to kill Han Solo. And what happened? It's exactly what happened. He killed his father. Ooh. And the worst part about it was they dragged it out for like 5 minutes. I was about to swear.
Well, it was that the whole point of that was
the illusion
of the fact that he mentioned he still had the light in him before, and that's why they drug that out, really.
Right. And my thought was when he's
could have been a smidge shorter, but
when he's doing the whole, can you help me? You know, is there anything you can do to save me and get me back to the light or whatever he said? You know, I don't remember the exact dialogue. He was kind of alluding to the fact that, you know, there are two opposing forces trying to take over my being and I need help. And he's like, of course I'll help you, blah, blah, blah. And then he just goes, and he kills Han Solo. It was just kind of like, oh, yeah, I didn't see that coming 45 minutes ago.
Yeah. No,
now,
I mean,
what I thought would have been like, holy, I didn't see that coming at all, is if he said, you know, something along the lines of, I need help, and then took a nosedive off the bridge himself.
Yeah.
Because I was actually in that moment, I'm like, if he kills himself, that's going to be the biggest shock in this entire movie.
I'm not going to
lie. And then
when
he killed Han Solo, I'm like, no, they went the cheesy.
There was a split second. Actually, I almost thought what you're thinking, except for the opposite way. When he was handing Han his kind of a blade, saber blade with the side stuff, his cool lightsaber, let's just call it that, because it is. It's pretty awesome. And in all the scenes, you know what, and just quick side note, in all the lightsaber scenes, they did a great job of background stuff. Like, the saber hit the tree during the fight. It was getting drugged through the snow. Like, those scenes, like,
yeah.
That was a real good attention to detail, in my opinion. Like, that even they did it a little bit in the prequels, but it was I don't want to say that this was less CGI because it's obviously more, but it's just better. Like, it just looked it
you
looked
don't know
more
that. They
realistic.
Might have lightsabers.
It just looked really good the way, you know, because they were fighting in the snow and the way it just hit the snow and sort of steamed, sort of singed. It was, and the sounds were really good. I don't know. It wasn't the normal, typical sound you heard in the originals or in the prequels were actually a kind of a different sound. And now this one, they sort of have a more reverberating sound.
I didn't notice a difference at all.
But you're not really like a super lightsaber listener guy. I mean, I'm not saying I am either, but it was kind of a more reverberating, you know what I mean? Like, boom, 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 boom.
But if you notice, his blade was different, too.
Yeah, his was a little more...
jagged.
Not refined. Yeah. Is that what I'm looking for? Like, that you know works. What I'm saying? Not smooth.
You'll know his when was, you see it.
Yeah,
if you
his was
seen
more
it
like
yet.
More violent energy, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know how else. I don't know what to say. But yeah, that was when he was handing Han that saber, like Brian was saying, I did for a very split second think that he was gonna force Han to stab him, which would have been kooky. But the time of the movie it was incorrect. It was never gonna happen then. As soon as I remembered we still have a half hour.
See, I don't know. I didn't think it was all that predictable because, like you said, he's been hinting the whole time.
I didn't
time.
Think it was predictable exactly until they set up that scene and he calls his name and walks up and they meet. When I was like,
because there's so
I,
much
I was,
they could have done.
So I was. I mean, I'm not even joking. I was legit like, oh man.
I mean, they could have had him switch sides. He goes to the Rebel base and then just starts laying waste
there
when he gets there. I mean,
there's
so many different ways to play it
no,
out.
There was, but I mean that with if you follow the beginning of the movie, they made so many nods to the original that showdown, although Han didn't have his own saber like Vader and Obi-Wan, I mean it was the confrontation. You had Finn and Rey show up and they're looking on, Chewie's in the background, which was like another thing I sort of didn't like when it all went down. I mean, obviously Chewbacca's a fake character as well, but I wanted to see a little more I wanted to see a little more emotion, man, because them guys been running together for 40
years. Are you joking?
Years.
That's like the only time in any of these movies that I've actually seen him just kind of go nuts and start killing everybody in sight.
Yeah. I mean, they should have had him go full on expanded universe Chewbacca and start ripping people's arms off or some, I don't know. I wanted this is just me being dorky, I guess, but I just wanted more out of Chewbacca. Like, dude, that's your brother, man. Like, that's your, like, you don't even...
Brothers don't
no.
shake hands.
I mean, he doesn't even know any... I mean, you know what I mean? You can see what I'm saying, though. I mean...
No, I know.
He's got no... I mean, that's been the team, man. That's the... I mean, I don't know. I just... For me, as silly as it sounds, like, I legit, for a minute, like, felt sorry for Chewbacca. I'm like, this poor guy, man. Like, I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, but now he gets to hang out with Rey.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and that's a cool dynamic, and I actually love that, and I love that... I love that aspect of it for sure. I mean, I see what they're doing, and I sort of, in the beginning of the movie, I was just thinking, like, man, I know that J.J. Abrams has to kill somebody to make this his own story. I mean, he just has to.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's going to change the expanded universe, so he has to make people know that he's in charge, so somebody's going down. I just, honestly, I was kind of hoping it was going to be Leia.
Can I talk about that for a moment?
Oh, her Botox
when she
talk?
Comes walking out of the ship with her, like, hey, I've been an alcoholic for 30 years
yeah,
face,
right?
I was just like, why did you even get her?
Yeah.
Couldn't you just say, oh, yeah, your mother died of freaking, she had,
well,
she was eaten by a
that's
bear.
That's a whole other thing to me,
you know
too,
what I mean?
Because.
Get dark with it. Just, she was eaten by a
yeah, she's just,
Wookie.
I mean, I feel like she was overly worked. I mean, they could have just, I feel like they were trying to make her like a beautiful old woman instead of just a regular old lady. I mean, she's freaking pushing 70, right? I mean, that's got to be about her age in real life.
Oh, she had a deeper voice than Harrison Ford.
Yeah,
so
oh,
I was
by far.
Like, why
she
did you
deep,
even get her?
She had a deeper voice than Kylo Ren with the
she's mic. Like, so where's our son? I'm like, oh,
yeah, well,
my
and
God.
She kind of had like a, she sort of had a, like a Botox lip lisp. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was speaking through her. You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of, you know what I mean? It was not great. I mean, I loved seeing her. For sure. I mean, it was cool to see her. It was cool to see a lot of the people, obviously. And I, you know, a quick nod as well that, like, the same guys playing Chewbacca, the same guys playing C-3PO. Like, that's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know you don't see them.
Get ready when they bring Margot Kidder back for Batman versus Superman.
That'd be pretty awesome. But yeah, I thought Leia was again fans of the original expanded universe, which is basically out the window right now, know the story a little bit differently. Oh, side note as well, for anybody that really cares, Kylo Ren's name is Ben, which is not the expanded universe version. The expanded universe, they have a different set of children, and Ben is the son of Luke Skywalker. So if you were going to use a name, just pick something random, like Jim or something. Like, you had to use the other name of the other kid, you know what I mean? So if you're going to start changing character... Yeah, I mean, well, exactly, though. I mean, if you're going to start changing character names that are actually... You know, you're using... I mean, I guess you're not using expanded universe characters because Kylo Ren is made up, but so is everybody. But, I mean, don't use the name of the other character. So if you bring to light someday that there is a Skywalker child, now you're not going to call him Ben. What are you going to... You're going to call him Jason? That'd be weird. So...
I just realized my hat's been in my head this whole time.
The entire time. Yeah. Looks good, though. I mean, it fits. So, yeah.
It's a Stetson.
So there's that.
I think we should number this, dude. We are going...
Let's just get to the one last second. Your favorite part.
My favorite part?
Yeah. The last is... the last part.
Oh,
you said you liked that part.
Oh, yeah. This...
So at the end, obviously, there's no more Han. They decipher... Oh, P.S. R2-D2 comes back to life, and he has the other half of the map. Ta-da. So, we kind of got over the whole the droid you're looking for thing, and they alluded to it earlier that...
I'm not the one.
R2 has been in low power, like, ever since...
Luke disappeared,
and everyone's looking for him. R2-D2 sort of just shut down.
Just like in Futurama, when Fry goes into the cryo chamber and his dog gets all sad and weepy and hangs outside the pizza place till he dies.
So they throw another ratty tarp over him and the Millennium Falcon, and basically R2 lights up at the end. He says, "Hey, look, beep boop, I got the other half of this map." So they find the map.
Pretty much the whole map.
Literally, yeah, he had the entire map, and BB-8 had, like, a nugget. Like, it was, like, I could have figured out the rest of the map.
With R2-D2 had the whole map.
If I had R2-D2's map, I could have figured it out.
BB-8 had Oak Forest and part of it both.
Yeah. No, for real. R2-D2 had the continental United States. Yeah, and... Yeah, BB-8 literally at Tinley Maine. Park.
He's like 3/4 of Robbins and one street in Blue Island. That's
barely,
it.
Yeah. So anyways.
I just can't pinpoint it.
So the cool part about the ending, again, was that now you have Rey, her and Chewie hopping the Falcon and take off, which is, I thought it was a pretty good scene because obviously, you know, Chewie doesn't have a running buddy any longer and it's horrible and whatnot. But they, again, you know what though, side note. I also thought it was kind of weird that, you know, Leia is allegedly everyone's looking for Luke, and they're just going to send these two idiots? I mean, obviously, Chewie's a grizzled veteran or whatever, but, like, you don't
he
even know
this
chick.
He is in the books, though. You know what I'm saying?
Who?
Well, it's my constant complaint with Chewbacca. Like, in the movies, he's just a whiny, overgrown dog.
Right.
I mean, the books, I hear that he is amazingly, and he's just a beast.
Oh, and he's
but
a...
in the movies,
and he's a tactical genius. I mean, he's like a real... He's the real deal.
But in the movies, he's not.
Yeah. And he's actually, like... And he's a high... I don't want to say high rank, but he's well respected among his race on his planet. He's
exactly.
Like he rolls in. It's like when he goes to the bar there, it's like when they scream Han Solo. Like, people know this guy.
Chewie.
He's a thing. Yeah. And the ferocity of Wookiees is well documented in books, which is lackluster. Like I said, I would have loved to see him rip people's arms off, but maybe we'll get
that.
We'll get that in the second one. So anyways, they send these two people that you probably wouldn't send, but they do, to go seek out the map, and then we get to the planet that I believe they didn't even name.
Earth.
Yeah, Earth. Earth Point 2.
He's hanging out in Skyrim.
Yeah. So they're on the hunt for Luke, and she finds him. Rey finds him. They land. She walks up, and then it's Brian's favorite part.
Yeah, because he's all like Zen Buddha and just hanging out on top of the mountain.
Just chilling. The beard is fantastic. I didn't think I was going to love it.
I thought it was going to be grizzled until he took the hood off. I'm like, that's pretty refined.
I liked it though. I liked it. It wasn't short. It wasn't ZZ Top or nothing, but it was a full blown beard.
It's pretty well known that the original trilogy, not the prequels, but the original trilogy is highly inspired by old samurai movies, specifically Akira Kurosawa movies. And when you go back, and maybe some people won't, but when you go back and watch The Seven Samurai or Throne of Blood or Rashomon, you can see that Star Wars was heavily influenced by these movies, and that part was like the only part in the movie that felt like that sort of samurai vibe. Everything else just felt like, hey, we're going to do the first movie over again, but we're going to put some new
characters. Well, that was because you didn't get any aspect of training or origin of anything, and Kylo Ren wasn't. I'm not saying Vader. No, I am. Vader was like a smooth guy. He was walking around like you.
He was Barry White.
Yeah, like this guy's. He knew it. Where Kylo Ren is Lionel still coming Richie. To grips with it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and I'm not.
He's not quite pod race Vader, but he's not quite awesome Vader.
Right.
Either.
I'm not knocking Kylo Ren again because I really. You know, the more we talked about him, the more I actually don't hate him. But I actually want to see more of him. But
really like him.
Vader came out of the box in the first movie. I mean, just like in control. And you got that feel of, like, this guy already knows what he's doing. You know, even though he was under the thumb of Tarkin and the Emperor, he was still his own dude. I don't know. That's what I think.
Well, and a little side note, but that's why I like the Darth Vader comic so much, because while he's still under them, he undermines them all the time.
Right, right. That was actually, that's a part of the books, too.
They're like, yeah, let's go do this. He's like, you got it. And then he goes off and does something completely different.
And in some of the expanded universe books, he's one of the richest men in the entire galaxy.
Quietly taking control.
He's doing all kind. He's got a lot of fires cooking, you know, for sure. So yeah. And you get a better aspect of that, even though, again, that's not part of this universe now, but it's still relevant, I guess.
All right.
So, yeah.
So, overall, let's get some numbers and let's get out of everyone's face for today.
I'll lead it off.
I still think I had a ton of fun at this movie, even though it was like almost a mirror of A New Hope. I mean, there was a lot of similarities. I still had a lot of fun. I easily am definitely going to see it again. I'll give it like an 8 all day.
I would like to see it again. I don't think I'll go to the theater to do it, though. I'd give it like a 7, maybe 7. I feel like I didn't have the high expectations, but I feel like everyone in the world did.
Yeah.
So I still felt like I was kind of looking to everyone else's expectations for like that movie was going to blow my head off. And when it was over, I was like, yeah, it was good. Some stuff I didn't care for.
Yeah, I don't know that was always...
And I just kind of left it at that.
That was kind of the difference between the Abrams Star Wars now and his reboot of Star Trek. I think people were more blown away by the reboot of Star Trek because you weren't...
Those movies blew my face off. They're so good.
You weren't necessarily... There wasn't this kind... This hype for this movie was...
It was unrealistic. It's still unrealistic.
It's unrealistic. Like, even the reviews, and I mean, and I'm a fan, and I'm going to give it a higher number than both of yous, but...
Yous twos?
But you basically, you're going into it thinking you're going to see an 11 out of 10. Like,
right.
That's basically what everyone's saying. And,
right, and that's for Batman versus Superman.
And to me, it was nowhere near that, but it was still, I mean, but nowhere near that for a Star Wars movie for me is I'm saying it's a 9 all day long. Like, the movie was awesome. It has some things that I supremely hate, but it doesn't take away from the fact that it is Star Wars, and it's so much better than the prequels, and you have so much more to look forward to now with like the Rogue One movie coming out and other aspects they're gonna journey on, and the fact that, like, you know, there was rumors that they're casting for a new Han Solo character, so I'm guessing. I mean, I don't really have all the information, but I'm guessing they might go that route, like some prequels to the smuggling days or something like that. So there's a lot of things to
do. Can I fill that role right now? I know who to put in it.
Who?
Nathan Fillion.
That would be awesome. He's a little old.
As a young old Han Solo? Yeah. He's 47 years old,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, but he's not 70. The guy, you know, so you could still squeeze some movies in there.
I mean, you know what, though? No, you know what? You actually might be onto something, because if they were going to do some, they could go to the point in the movie that they reference where Leia and Han split, and he goes back to doing what he does best. So, yeah, you know what? You might actually...
Yeah, you're damn right.
It's not like
he was 18 when the original movies came out. He was still,
and
30.
He's a great actor, I think. And obviously a great Starship captain.
Just like,
that's just me liking Serenity and Firefly. So, yeah, I agree. I agree with that pick.
All right, there you have it. You can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find Mike at MikeMiro7.
And always find Review and Roast at Review and Roast, or go to the Review and Roast Facebook page.
Or
hashtag
Instagram.
Review and Roast anywhere, and you'll find us.
Yeah, we're kind of all over.
Hashtag Review and Roast.
Yes.
One word.
That's our Star Wars episode for today. Have a good week, and may the Force be with you.